We're going to go this morning to Ephesians 5. So if you guys want to go there, Ephesians 5, verse 21. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Real love is, and I should have put like three dots. Like real love is dot. Real love is, and basically we're going to fill in the blanks. If a woman says, I have nothing to wear, right, man? If a woman says, I have nothing to wear, what she really means is, I have nothing new to wear. Okay, fellas, if the man says, I have nothing to wear, what he really means is, I have nothing clean to wear. Now, it is the same exact words, but different meanings. Men and women are different. We know that, right? Men, I'm going to help you out here today, okay? I'm going to help you out, okay? That way you're not in the doghouse a lot. But let me tell you this. Love is not just a four-letter word. Love is not just a feeling, an emotion. Love is an action. And I'm going to show you that. Let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 21. And it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the household. Wait, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Men are loving that right now. They're kind of quiet. It's like, hey, you're going to get me in trouble, man. So, fellas, can I get an amen? Don't worry, women, I'm getting there. So what does that mean? Wives, submit as you would do to Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that do whatever he tells you. It doesn't mean that you're a mop. It doesn't mean you can get beat up and get mistreated. That's not what it means. See, real love leads you in a righteous path. It means humble yourself and let him be the leader that God created him to be. That's what that means. See, fellas, God created us to be leaders. And so, that's what Christ is saying. Submit yourself, honor him as you would honor me, as the head of the household, as your man, as your husband. Honor him. Now let's go to women. You guys are gonna like this. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body. Just as Christ does the church, we are members of his body. Let me stop real quick. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, you got to understand how Christ loved the church. What did he do? What did he do for us? He humbled himself. He came from his place on high, right? He was in his throne. God, our Father, was in his throne, created Jesus, came from his place on high, came to us on our place down low, humbled himself to serve us, to die for us, to sacrifice for us. So in the same way, we must do that for our wives. We must love them as much as Christ loved us. We must come down from our holier-than-thou sometimes place, right? And humble ourselves and sacrifice sometimes. Now, this is going to help some people that with their marriage. This is going to help some single people to realize what love really is. Because I'm not talking about this love that you see on TV now, right? I watch a lot of... Whenever I'm on Facebook and I see a lot of these teenagers and they put and some grown-ups, okay? And they put this these videos, and in it it says, "I love this girl." And it's these videos of these chicks shaking their booty. Now, you see that on these rap videos, you see that on all these things, and the problem with that is that our worldviews, they think that this is what love is. This is not what love is. That is what lust is. And that girl shaking her booty might be fine for just 1 second, but when it comes down to when you come home to work and you need something to cook and she's still shaking her booty, that ain't gonna cut it. That booty shaking will get old real quick. So that's not what love is. Amen? Verse 31. We left off. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." Now get this, okay? Get this, because this is saying, for this reason, you will leave your father and mother and you will be united, one. Now, what happened when God created Adam and Eve? When God created Eve, he took her from Adam's rib, took her from his side, grabbed that, created a woman, then gave it back to her. Understand that? Listen. So he took something from Adam, took it out, created something great, gave it back to him, and said, "This is good." So now he was a whole man. God took something from him. Now he's not a whole man, right? He's missing something. He's missing a rib. God presents her with a bride. Now he's one. Understand that logic. When me and my wife got married, we were one. We became not two people, but one in God's sense. Putting us together, now reunited and saying, "You are complete now. I have made you complete." So before I might have been missing something, but when God gave me a beautiful wife, a beautiful bride, he said, "You are complete now." Amen? And so for that reason, you must leave your father and mother and understand that. Parents, understand this, okay? We raise our kids, and I know I'm going to have to do this someday. We raise our kids, okay, we grow them. I mean, they're little, they grow up, and when they become old and they get married, understand that, yeah, to you, they're still your little child, okay? You still want to call them my little child, my little princess and everything, but understand that now when they get married, it is your duty to back away for a second. And honor that man in their lives. Honor that woman in their lives. Because that's what the word says, right? So what does that mean? I mean, don't be all nosy up, all up in their business every single time. Okay? Let them grow together. Let them honor each other. Now, women, I'm going to tell you something. Don't run to your mom every time that he does something wrong. Okay? Because what happens is, now the mom and you are mad at him, and they're like, okay, now there's a bomb about to blow up, okay? And so you must learn to separate ourselves, because now they are one. As parents, we must learn to separate ourselves and let them have their space. Let the man be her leader now. Let them be the man of the household. And I know for fathers that have daughters, you know, I understand. Might be a little hard. Is that a microwave going on? Somebody has a microwave? Is that somebody's alarm? It's all good. It's all good. It's Jesus calling. Okay, let's go to this verse. This is the last verse of this chapter right there, the Ephesians 5. Now, understand, this is the most important thing, right? When somebody dies, when somebody's about to die, and they say the last words, they're usually the most important words of their life. Understand this. If you don't get nothing out of this whole preaching, understand this specific scripture right here. I want you to get this. Verse 33. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, get that. What does this say? God is talking to both the man and the female right here. He says to the man, love your wife. Okay? And then he speaks to the wife and says, wife, respect your husband. Now, I found this very interesting because I said, So God commands the man to love your wife. But then he doesn't command the women to love your husband. He commands them to respect your husband. If you get this in your relationship, just this very key point, you will prosper. Experts always say communication is the key to a good relationship. The problem with that is they never tell you how to communicate. They just say, communicate, just talk. Well, it's a little difficult sometimes, right? You get to talking, you get to yelling, you get to fighting, hopefully just throwing pillows and nothing sharp, right? But this is the simple key right here. God is telling the men to love their wives. God is telling the women to respect their husbands. Understand this, okay? Why do men fight? What is the key example why a man would fight? Disrespect. Bottom line, he was talking mess. He disrespected me. Oh, that guy disrespected me. Oh, he disrespected my wife. Oh, he disrespected my family. It all comes down to respect for a man. See, we as men, we want respect. We earn, our bodies earn for respect. Now, women, on the other hand, they earn for love. Their bodies, their souls, they earn for that love, to feel love. Men must feel respected. Women must feel loved. Understand that. If you get that in your relationship, in your communication, communicate those two things. That men want to feel respected. Whenever me and my wife, we argue. Yeah, we argue. A lot of the time she'll end up telling me, but I love you. I know that. I have no doubt in my mind that she loves me. And for most guys, we kind of have that in our minds. We have no doubt that our wives loves us. We have no doubt that they love us. But on the other hand, do they respect us? That's what we ask ourselves. Put it this way. I have my dresser, right? Whenever I come home, I told my wife, this is my little spot, okay? I like to think that I have my own, like, big spot, okay? We just moved into this house, and I said, this is going to be my man cave. And she's like, yeah, honey, that's your man cave. I was like, yeah, all right, cool. And then every day she's got all kinds of stuff on there, and she's moving stuff around. So I like to think, right? I like to think that that's my area, but it's really not, okay? So I've come home and I told her, okay, just my dresser, okay? Just give me this little top of the dresser. It's a 4x4 area. That's all I want. Whenever I come home, I want to put my wallet there. I want to put my keys there. I want to put my chain. I want to put my ring. This is my area I want to put my stuff on whenever I come home. Just this little area. That's it. That's all I'm asking. What ends up happening? I come home, there's all kinds of junk on there. I look at her and sometimes I just flip it off or, you know, just kind of toss it off, you know. Or sometimes I'll go hide it somewhere. You know, like I'll show her, that's my area. We've talked about this over and over. So in a sense, I get mad because I feel disrespected. You just took away my only spot that I said, this is my spot.
You took away that.
I feel disrespect. Baby, I love you. I'm sorry. I know you love me.
I know that.
You know? I know that. Now, understand this. Men and women are very different. Okay, my wife, she has no little area. The whole house is her area. The whole house. My wife is always losing her keys. My keys. We only have one set of keys for the truck. And so I like to come home and put it in the same area. I have a routine. I put it in the same area. She comes home. She might leave it in the kitchen one day. She might leave it in the bathroom one day. She might leave it in the living room one day, you know, in the truck. We're very different. But we must learn to accommodate for each other. Don't get mad, okay? We must learn not to get mad at each other and say, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You know what? We're different. We're very different. And you know what? Opposites attract. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the same weaknesses that she has, I might have strengths. And the same weaknesses that I have, she will have some strengths. And when you come together, you complete each other. Don't try to change the other person to what you are. Because they're different. Learn that there's some things that she's going to have that have great value in your life. And vice versa. That's how we complete each other. God knows this. He puts opposites together. Put it this way. If both of you were exactly the same people, okay? If you got married to, what would you get married to? Another you. You would get tired of you. Because they're exactly like you. There's no differences. So God puts people that together when they are differences. Their differences will complete each other. Their differences will uplift each other. There's some things that I can't do that my wife can do. I can't think of any right now. But there is some. I love you, baby. I gotta behave. But she does. She completes me. She has been my right-hand woman, my ride-or-die chick. She has been the love of my life. Helped me when I'm down, in and out. She has uplifted me. Amen? Now, women, you have the power, okay? Yes, the man is the head of the household, okay? Women, I'm going to tell you something, though. You are the power source. Put it this way, the president is the man in charge, right? Really, he's not. He can't do nothing without the back of the Congress and all his army and everything, right? He couldn't go fight a war by himself. He's not really the man. It's the whole government behind him. He's just a face. Women, you have that power behind us. You really do. You can either uplift the man to be the greatest potential that he can be, or you can break him down. How? By disrespecting him. When you respect him and you tell him, oh, honey, I can't open this jar. You can open the jar. Who cares? You know you can. But you're like, yeah, honey, I can't open this jar. The man goes over there. He grabs it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Flexing like, yeah, I did something great. You just uplifted him. You know you could have opened the jar, but you just made him feel, you just uplifted his spirit. In every relationship, in every, if you've ever seen a great man, with every great man in history, there is a great woman behind him. You are the power source that powers us to be that great. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4. So remember, a woman needs to feel like she is loved. A man needs to feel like he is respected. Couples often fight a lot when they cannot communicate that to each other. Communicate that to each other. We as men have to, baby, I love you. You're doing a great job. Baby, you know, I love this food. You might spit it under the table sometimes. But tell her how great she's doing. Tell her how beautiful she looks. Tell her how gorgeous she is this morning. Amen? Women need to feel that sense. Women need to feel assurance of that sense. There's that song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I think it's by Aretha Franklin, right? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And that was the theme back in the day of how women feel they need to feel respected. But do you know that a man actually wrote that song? And it was first released by a man? Didn't do so great, so that then she released it? So women need to be filled like they're loved. That's how God created them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Skip down to verse 13 and it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So love is patient. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not easily angered. Love is kind. Let me give you an example. I came home the other day, and since we just moved, my wife bought these curtains. I don't know what they're called, the shower curtains, the white one that goes underneath. And so she bought it, and I was so tired, and I saw it right there, you know, it was right there by the table in the bathroom. She hadn't put it on, and I came home tired. I'm just tired after working a long day and everything. And so I looked at it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something good for my wife. You know, she hasn't asked me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it on. And so I grabbed it, and I couldn't find no holes on it. I'm like, what is this? You know, this is generic, you know? It's like, all right, I'm a man. I'll put some holes on it. You know? So I start putting it on. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing something good for my wife. You know, put it on. And in the morning, you know, and I wake up. I'm like, how you doing, baby? You know, this and that. And then later on, my wife didn't say nothing. But later on, I think maybe a day after or something, I was like, you know what, baby? I hate that shower curtain. It just doesn't work. I go, every time you're taking a shower, it flies open, you know? And she's like, baby, you put it on backwards. I was like, what do you mean? There's no holes on it. I was like, yeah, it flies open because the magnets are at the bottom, but you put them on the top. But see, she didn't tell me. She didn't yell at me. Right? And I was like, no way. She just let me be the man, right? She was probably like, this guy, man. What is he doing? But she didn't criticize me though. She didn't say nothing. Just when I explained to her that I hated it, then that's when she told me that I put it on there wrong. And then I go, no, there was holes. She's like, yeah, the holes are at the bottom. I was like, let me go see. I go in there. Sure enough, there was holes on the bottom. So it does not boast. It does not envy. It's not easily angered. You do something. Women, if a guy does something out of their heart, even if they got it all messed up, okay, just give them a little praise for it. Just, you know, let him have it. He thinks he did something good. Like, yeah, I did that right there. I put that on right there. I did that for my wife. You know? And also, don't boast about things, you know? Don't bring those things up. Don't bring the past up.
You know, love is forgiving. It forgives. True love forgives. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. True love always perseveres. It has hope. It carries you. It pushes you to do great. Even when you got it all twisted. My wife still supports me. Amen. Now let me tell you something. Let me go back real quick. And I'm pretty sure a lot of men do this. When my wife tells me, I told you not to leave your dirty clothes all over the floor time and time again. What she is saying is, you don't appreciate all that I do for you. I cook, I clean, I take care of you. I do not feel loved. That's what she's saying. They need to feel loved. So we must work together, sacrifice as a man, sacrifice some of our works. Now, I leave my clothes on a pile. I know what the pile means. You know, those are my clothes. But we have our differences. But when we learn to communicate with each other and we respect each other's differences, we can complete each other. When we learn how to love our women, we can complete each other. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that he might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, verse 8 says, God is love. Let me tell you what I said earlier. Love is not just a four-letter word. Love is not just a feeling, an emotion. Love is an action. God is love. See, this world views of love is not true love. It is lust. Now, I was talking to a friend this morning, and we were talking about how the oldies song used to sing about love. I love you, you know. It used to, you could ride with your woman, and it was a love song, you know, love songs. And now our generation has these love songs that ain't really love. They're sex songs. And so our worldview is changing from what the true meaning of love is to what they think love is just another sex, another, you know, give me this, give me that, shake your booty here and there. And that's not love. Now understand something, that God is love. He is the definition of love. You will never know the true meaning of love until you know God. Because God is love. You will never know how to love somebody. You will never know how to receive love if you never know God. See, when I was growing up, I thought my parents were great. I thought they were good. And I thought they loved me. But deep down inside, I was always alone. They always left me. They always took off. I was left to raise myself at a very young age, from fourth grade to fifth grade to sixth grade and on and on and on. They would leave me during the week, go out to work in the fields, come back on the weekend and check up on me. And so growing up, my parents didn't say, I love you. They didn't hug me. They didn't really show any affection towards me. And so growing up, I had a lot of anger issues. And anytime anybody tries to get close to me, I would push them away. I didn't really want friends. I didn't really want people. I didn't know how to trust somebody. I didn't know how to respect somebody. I did not know how to love somebody. Now, at age 17, my daughter was born, my oldest daughter, and I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to love my child. It wasn't only until I met God when I was trying to commit suicide and I met God and I felt his presence and I felt love. All I could say is I feel love. I didn't know love. I did not know love. I didn't know God was love. But at that moment when I said, when I cried out to God and I was about to kill myself and I tried to cut my throat and I said, God, forgive me if you're real. I don't know if you're real, but I'm sorry. I just do not want to live. I know I'm going to hell, but I can't live like this anymore. As I did that, I felt the presence come on me. I looked in the mirror. I was in the bathroom. I looked in the mirror, and my throat was beginning to bleed. Now, understand, I didn't grab a small little knife. I grabbed the biggest butcher knife I could find because I wanted to do it right. I didn't try to cut my wrist because I saw a lot of friends from back in the day survive. I said, I'm going all in. And I went hard. And I never tried to do something so hard in my life than kill myself that moment. And I didn't know it, but I was crying out to God and I was saying the sinner's prayer. I did not know this. Nobody ever taught it to me, but I was sincerely about my heart crying out to God and telling him that I'm sorry for the life that I've lived. At that moment, I felt the presence come on me and hug me. Understand? I was never hugged. I was never loved. I felt love like I never felt love before in my life. A true presence of love. That was God. God is love. Now, because of that, now I, as a father, know how to love my kids. I know how to love my wife through what God is showing me, his love. I will do anything for my kids and my wife because I will sacrifice it all for them. Just as Christ sacrificed it all for us, we as men must be the leaders and sacrifice whatever we must do for our family. Now let me give you a quick thing. And this is how your life should live in a relationship. And if you do this, it will prosper. Always put God first in your relationship. Always put God first. Number one is God. Then your wife or your spouse. Then what comes after that is your children. And for some people, that might be hard because they have children out of another relationship. My kids are not all from my wife. But I must put my wife first before my children. And I'm going to show you why. Because if you and your woman are divided, you will not be able to stand a household and raise your children. That's why it's aligned that way. God first, your spouse, then your kids. Because if you two are communicated, if you guys are in click, you guys know what you guys have a plan, then you can raise your kids the right way. See, and your kids will try to play this, okay? And you guys that have kids will know this. My little one comes to her mom and asks her, can I have an ice cream? She'll tell her, no, honey. You need to eat dinner first. She'll run over to me. Daddy, can I have an ice cream? What am I going to say? Yes. Of course. You can have two ice creams, baby. Right? But I learned to do this. What did your mom say? I learned to do that now. What did your mom say? She said, no, but I want it and this and that. Well, then you listen to your mom. See? Your kids will try to play you one another against each other. They will try to do that. So you must be strong in what you two are communicating, that you may raise your kids with good values and morals, that you may stand strong. God first, your marriage, then your kids. God is love. Amen? There's a verse, I don't have it here, but it says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. When you become one, when you get married and you become one, let no one separate you. God first, your marriage, your kids, than everybody else. Let no one separate what you got, what God has put together. Let no man separate it. Be in clique with one another. Serve each other. Love one another. And understand, you will never know how to truly be a leader, how to love your wife, how to love your kids, until you know how God's love is. God loved us. He is the definition of love. Amen. What did I say? He came from up above. He sacrificed. He took it all for us. He sacrificed his whole life, took all of our sins, and died for us. That is love. When you're willing to sacrifice it all, that is love for the ones you loved. Now, he is a king. He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He didn't have to come do it, but he loved us that much that he came and did it. He is the true way of love. Get closer to him. Get closer to him. Talk to him. Show him how to be the leader. Show him how to be the man that you need to be in your life, in your wife's life, in your kids' life. Ask him for that. He will give it to you. I didn't know how to be that man. And now I show my kids affection all the time. I show them love. I praise them. I never cuss at them. I never tell them they can't do nothing wrong. I always tell them, you could achieve anything that you put your mind to. That wasn't taught to me. God showed me that. God showed me that. He showed me how to love a woman and not how to beat a woman, but how to love a woman. Amen? Because that wasn't nice. Amen? So God is love. We must get closer to him to know how to love our families, how to be the leader. Amen? We must do that. God is love. Now, when you have time on your own, you'll probably get a kick out of this song, and it's called the Song of Songs. And it's in the Bible. It's called the Song of Songs. It's a whole chapter. It's the Song of Songs. And it is a song, a poem, from King Solomon to a beautiful lady. And it's a love poem. It's a love story. And it's very erotic. Okay? I can say that. It is. I just look over there. TJ has some glasses over there. But. So. And it talks about sex. It talks about how beautiful the woman is, how beautiful her eyes, how beautiful her legs and all that. So when you say, oh, that kind of stuff ain't in. Yeah, it is. It's all in there. God didn't leave nothing out of this book. Nothing. Sex, everything. Nothing. He didn't leave nothing out of this book. He created sex, but he created it for something good, for a purpose, for a wife and a man, a husband, to be connected as one. So when you get a chance, you'll get a kick out of that. But God is love, amen? We must know God first to know what love, true and real love is. I hope this message blessed you today, and I hope it takes you somewhere, and I hope if you're single that you will realize what to look for a woman. Look for a godly woman. Don't look for some girl that's just booty shaking it up in the club. Wait and see if she can cook first. Because if not, you might have that big booty, but you're going to be starving, son. You're going to be coming home all skinny. Now, God does provide you with a good woman with beautiful looks, exactly what you love. And the same goes for women. If that's what you're seeking, a good man. Now, I'll tell you another thing. Before I met my wife, I had been through bad relationships. And now I know I've learned to appreciate this relationship. Okay? Sometimes you must go through some bad ones. and learn to appreciate the good ones. But what I did after those bad relationships, I wrote all my prayer on a piece of paper. And I asked God exactly what I wanted in a woman. Exactly. And I wrote it down. I put it in my pocket. I carried it for a couple years. And then I met my wife. Now, when I met my wife, she wasn't that woman that I prayed for. Understand that. But what does the word say? Love is patient. And I remember God saying, be patient. And now he said that from a friend. And I heard it and it penetrated my heart as if God was saying it. And he said, be patient. And I'm still waiting. I'm just kidding. No. God has truly blessed me. But I had to be patient. You know? We have to be patient with one another. And if God is love, we have to be forgiveness to one another. We must forgive each other. We must love each other. We must respect each other. We must treat each other like a king and queen, because you guys are king and queens of God. Amen? And women, respect yourself. I have a song from my daughters. And my song, it says, I have in my last album, and it's for my kids. And it says, if they try to hit you up for sex, tell them they're no joke. Tell them they're a joke, because your daddy raised you right. And if they really love you, they'll make you their wives. I want my kids to respect each other, to respect themselves. And I'm trying to raise them right. And God wants you to respect each other. Honor each other. Honor yourself. Because God honors you. He loves you. He created you as kings and queens of this world. And he wants the best for you. Amen. Can we stand up? How many of you guys received this message this morning? Amen.